The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is written in the biography of Hazrat Baba Fariduddin Ganj Shakar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi that at the time of his departure from this world, he offered his last salah of Isha with Jamaat. After a while, he fell unconscious. Then he woke up again and asked the people who were around him, Have I offered my Isha Salah? The people who were around him told him that, Yes, Huzur, you have offered your Isha Salah. He said, Okay, but still let me offer my Isha Salah again because I don't know what might happen after this. And he offered his Isha Salah. And after that, he fell unconscious again. After a while, he woke up again and asked the people again, Have I offered my Isha Salah? People told him, Hazrat, you already have offered your Isha Salah twice. He said, Okay, but still, let me offer my Isha Salah again because I don't know what might happen after this. And they say, after offering the Isha Salah third time, Hazrat Baba Fariduddin Ganj Shakar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh passed away. And at the time of departure of his soul from this world, he was making zikrullah with the words Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. Dear viewers of Madin channel, what should we learn from this beautiful story? That Awliya-e-Kiram alayhimur ridwan, even at the last time of their worldly life, they would always try to earn some good deed, to do some good thing which will earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal for them. So dear viewers of Madhvi channel, we should always try to earn the virtues and try to do good deeds which will earn us pleasure of Allah Almighty. I welcome you in the beautiful silsila Faizan-e-Islam, and as you know, like every silsila, Mufti Muhammad Qasim Al-Attari Al-Qadiri Hafizahullah Ta'ala is with us, and inshallah we will ask him the questions and he will answer us. Sir, my first question is that is it possible for someone to destroy his good deeds, his virtues by some sins or by some actions? Number one. Number two, that how can one protect his virtues, his good actions?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Everything is very important. First of all, to do good deeds, that is very important, because nowadays that is very difficult to do, the first thing. The second is to save those virtues is also very important, because there are some sins due to that virtues can be destroyed, and some of them are mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran, and some are mentioned in a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The worst thing is disbelief, which renders our good deeds into vain. Because Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, if a person is non-believer, so no virtue of him is accepted in the court of Allah. No good deed is accepted in the court of Allah. As Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We will turn towards good deeds, what they did in their life. What will we do with that? فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. We will make them as floating particles of dust. So that would be like particles of dust, mean they don't have any worth, they don't have any importance, they don't have any worth in the court of Allah, and they will never get any reward from the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why the first thing is, the most important thing is our iman. If any non-believer does any good deed, so that doesn't have any worth. The second thing is, if a person becomes apostate, mean he leaves his true religion Islam, then all of his good deeds will turn into vain. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran very clearly, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whosoever among you will turn away from his true religion, means Islam, فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ, then he dies while he is kafir. فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, then all of his deeds will be destroyed in this world and in the hereafter. So the person who apostatizes from his religion, he leaves his true religion Islam, all of his good deeds will be destroyed. And that is the worst thing which can happen to a person, which can occur to a person. So that's why it is very important to protect our iman, to protect our religion, and to protect our beliefs. These two things belong to beliefs. Disbelief is also belong to an irtidad, apostasy is also belong to beliefs, our iman. As far as the matter of sins are concerned, so there are many sins. Due to that, our good deeds can be wasted, our good deeds can be destroyed. What are those? First, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned regarding showing off, that a person, if he does any good deed but with the intention of showing off to other people, he will not get any reward. And even if he does showing off after conducting that good deed, the reward of that deed will be wasted, will be destroyed. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha kalladhi yunfiqu malahu ria annas. O believers, don't render your sadaqat, your charity, into vain with what? Bil manni wal adha, to by reminder of your charity to the people. Wal adha, and by hurting to those people to whom you have favored something. Kalladhi yunfiqu malahu ria annas, like that person who spends his wealth in the path of Allah but for showing off to the people. So that person who is spending his wealth in the path of Allah, but his intention is not for getting the pleasure of Allah, his intention is to show off his generosity and charity to the people, so that he would be considered as a genius person among the people, and he would be considered as a pious and good person among the people. So if he has that kind of intention, he will never get any reward of his charity. So the first thing in among sins, showing off. And the second and third thing are also mentioned in the same ayah, which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned, bil manni wal adha. If you tease that person, if you hurt that person to whom you are giving any favor, you are giving your wealth, you are favoring that person, if you tease that person, if you hurt that person, your reward will turn into vain. The one thing. The second thing is, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned bil manni. Bil man, what is man? To reminder of your generosity to the people, that you were that person to whom I have favored, I have given that wealth, I have removed your difficulty that time. So by reminding of your favors, you will lose the reward of your good deed. So that is another thing which is mentioned in the same ayah. The another thing which is mentioned in one hadith, that is jealousy, because jealousy wipes out the reward of good deeds. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, innal hasada ya'kulul hasanati kama ta'kulun narul hatab. Indeed, jealousy eats up good deeds as fire eats up or burns woods. So as fire burns woods, jealousy burns and eats up good deeds. So if a person is jealous of someone, so his good deeds might be eaten up by that. His good deeds might be burned due to that jealousy. The another thing which is mentioned in some other ahadith, that is about backbiting. If a person backbites other people, so the good deed of this backbiter, the person who is doing backbiting, the good deeds of this person will be transferred to the book of deeds of that person regarding whom this person is backbiting. So the good deeds of this person will be transferred to the book of deeds of that person. So that is another thing in which good deeds can be wasted and a person can lose the reward of his good deeds. The another thing, that is to oppress someone and to be cruel with someone, that is another thing through that the deeds of a person will be transferred to the book of deeds of other people. As it is mentioned in one hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Sahaba ikram, "Atadruna manil muflis?" Do you know who is pauper? Who is penniless person who doesn't have any wealth? Sahaba ikram, as usual, they answer, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, muflis is that person who doesn't have any property, who doesn't have any wealth, who doesn't have any dirham and dinar. That person is a muflis and he is pauper." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered, "The muflis person is that, the pauper person is that, who will come on the day of judgment with bundles of good deeds. But in the world, he has oppressed someone, he has beaten someone, he has abused someone, he has slapped someone, he has eaten up the wealth of someone. So because he has done all these bad deeds in the world, so the good deeds of this person will be transferred to the book of deeds of those people who are oppressed one in the world. So if there would be balance of the good deeds of this person and the cruelty of this person, then that would be okay. Otherwise, the sins of those oppressed people will be transferred to the book of deed of this person. And this person who will come in the court of Allah with a lot of good deeds, but due to his bad activities in the world and due to abusing and eating up the wealth of other people, this person would be deprived of all of his good deeds. So this person is real muflis person. So it means to oppress other people is another sin. Through that, the good deeds of a person can turn into vain.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah Mufti Sahab. Dear viewers of Madani channel, you know that it is very difficult for us to collect the virtues or good deeds for the day of judgment. But we come to know by the answer of Mufti Sahab that it is very easy as well to destroy our good deeds and virtues by doing ghibat or meaning to be jealous of someone. So with these things, we would destroy our good deeds, and on the day of judgment, it is possible that someone would come as a very rich person in terms of virtues and good actions and good deeds, but he will not be able to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, because in this world he might have abused someone and might have oppressed someone. So always try to cooperate with other Muslims, always try to be kind and polite with other Muslims, and especially be careful in the rights of other fellow Muslims, because hukukul ibad, the matter of hukukul ibad is very difficult. Acha Mufti Sahab, just now you mentioned bil manni wal adha, that do not destroy your good deeds with reminding someone of your favors which you have done in past with someone. So my question is that, for example, two brothers are, you know, they are having a heated argument, and during the argument, one of them starts reminding the other one the favors which he have done in past. So now this reminding of favors of his, is it comes in the category of man, and is his good actions and good deeds will be destroyed?
This is the perfect example of that man. Because in normal conditions, a person don't remind others of his favors. In that kind of occasions and in that kind of happens, a person remind of his favor, so that is a perfect example of that man, and that is a perfect example of that Aza as well. Because just remind of your favor, that is something else. Because the person can do that in normal conditions without any dispute and without any argument. But when a person is arguing with someone and he is quarreling with someone, at that time when he is reminding of his favors, that time he is hurting that person as well. Because now the sentences of that person would be changed. Rather than the first condition, when he is only reminding of his favors, in that condition he might remind of his favors, but he don't hurt that person. But when that person is quarreling with him, that time the words and the sentences of this person would be changed. At that time he will be doing man and aza. He will be reminded of his favors and he will be hurting that person as well.
And Ustaz, as you told us that ghibat also destroys the good deeds. So when you ask someone who is backbiting, making ghibat of someone, so you ask and you tell him that this is ghibat, he says, no, it is not ghibat. I can say these words even in front of him. So what would you say about this answer of that person?
If a person can commit a sin in front of some people, it doesn't mean that sin is not sin.
Ji.
For example, if a person is killing someone, okay, in hidden, in privacy, and he say, I can kill that person in front of people as well. So it doesn't mean that that killing is not killing. That killing is killing. So the definition of backbiting is to mention the evils of someone which are found in that person, which are really existing in that person. So showing and mentioning those evils of a person in front of someone, that is backbiting. So it doesn't have any difference whether that person has dared to mention those evils in front of the same person or not. So it doesn't have any difference.
So in both the cases it will remain
in both of the cases
sin.
The backbiting is sin, and yes, that would be considered as backbiting.
Ji. Acha Mufti Sahab, there are two groups of people. Some people, they stress a lot upon the reformation of heart. They are more concerned with the reformation of heart, and some other, they are, you know, totally contented with their zahiri ahkam shariat. So who is right from these two people, these two groups?
Sometimes it depends upon the situation. Sometimes people are very sensitive regarding their inner matter. For example, a person has sincerity and he doesn't have jealousy and he is not arrogant person, but he is showing negligence in offering apparent deeds as offering prayer, performing hajj, remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he is heedless in these activities. So according to situation, a person can emphasize upon the apparent deeds. Sometimes the people are focusing upon only apparent deeds. They are offering prayer, they are performing hajj, they are reciting the Holy Quran a lot, and they are, mashallah, making mention of Zikrullah Azza wa Jal a lot. But they don't even think about the conditions of their heart. They are full of arrogance, they are full of jealousy, they are full of envy, they are not well-wisher of their fellow Muslims. So if their heart condition is very bad in the matter of good deeds, so that time a person who is a wise person and is the spiritual guide, who is a right spiritual guide, so he will emphasize upon the condition of the heart. So if the matter depends upon the condition, so then both of the ways can be good. Sometimes you can emphasize upon this thing, sometimes you can emphasize upon that thing. For example, in the month of Ramadan, because we know it is very it is summer season and it is too much hot nowadays, so we know the people will not observe fastings, so we will emphasize upon observing fasts. We will emphasize upon that. We will emphasize upon that. Because we know that people, if we don't emphasize upon, if we don't encourage people to observe fast, so they will leave fasting. So that's why we are emphasizing upon that. It doesn't mean that we are emphasizing upon only Zahir and we are not emphasizing people upon Batin. Because that is the requirement of situation. That is the requirement of that time. We are doing that. At the time of Hajj, in the season of Hajj, what will we do? We will encourage people, we will invite people towards Hajj. So sometimes it depends upon condition. And the wise scholars, the proper guided scholars, So they look at conditions and they preach people according to situation and according to the demand of that situation. But other than that, okay, and there the another thing could happen. What is that? Some people are preaching zahir matters, apparent matters. They preach regarding prayer, fasting, hajj and zakat. And some people, as spiritual people, so they are teaching people regarding sincerity and trust and patience and trust in Allah, like these things. So they are focusing upon that and they are teaching the commandments of that thing. So if these people have divided their duties and they are working in their own field, so then that's okay. As a mufti sits in his office, in his Darul Ifta, so he issues fatawas regarding talaq, regarding marriage, regarding inheritance, regarding prayer, regarding hajj. He doesn't issue any fatwa regarding hasad and takabbur and books and these kind of spiritual diseases. Okay. But the person who is sheikh, who is spiritual guide, he sits in his khanqa and he guides people towards sincerity, trust in Allah, patience, gratitude and love of Almighty Allah, preparation for the day of judgment. So because this person sits for that purpose and that person sits for that purpose, so every person is fulfilling his responsibility and they are paying their duty. So that's okay. There is no harm in that. They can divide their duties because one person can't teach all the people regarding everything. So that's why they have divided their duties and they are fulfilling their duties. That's okay. There is no harm in that. But those people who look at Zahir only and they never think about Batin matter, they never speak regarding jealousy, regarding the conditions of the heart, the spiritual diseases, the inner diseases, and they focus upon only Zahir. So that is not right. Because Zahir and Batin both have been proven from Quran and Hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us some commandments regarding our Zahir and He has given us some commandment regarding our Batin. So He has ordered us to purify our hearts as well, and He has ordered us to purify our body as well. So that's why there should be balance between these two things. So just remaining in one preaching and abstaining from other thing, or remaining in that preaching and abstaining from this thing, showing negligence in this thing. So these two people, if they are working in that way, so then they are making mistake. So every one of them should rectify his condition and his way of preaching.
But Mufti Sahib, don't you think that there are some awliya-e-kiram or some ahl-e-batin who stress upon batin, and even some of them, we can say that they reject zahir as well. For example, tasbih phiri dil na phirya, ki lena tasbih padte hu, Sultan Bahu Babulesha. So when we read their kalam, their books, what we come to know, that they are more concerned about ilm-e-batin and their books are full of knowledge regarding this thing. And they have totally almost, you know, left the zahir. So how would you answer this thing?
No, I would say, as far as the matter of zahir and batin is concerned, I have said everything has been proven from Quran and Hadith. Okay? If these awliya-e-kiram, if they are emphasizing upon the condition of heart, so that is okay, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has also emphasized upon that. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Holy Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of judgment, neither wealth of a person nor his sins will benefit the person. But that person who will come in the court of Allah with clean heart. The person who will come in the court of Allah on the day of judgment with clean heart. So that clean heart will benefit that person. That person will get salvation on the day of judgment and pleasure of Allah on the day of judgment due to the cleanness of his heart. So Allah Azza wa Jal also has emphasized upon purification of the heart. And in one hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that in very beautiful way, better than Awliya Kiram, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized upon that, which is in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala inna fil jasadi mudghatan, idha salahat salahal jasadu kulluhu, wa idha fasadat fasadal jasadu kulluhu ala wahiyal qalb." Beware, there is a piece of flesh in the body. If that becomes purified, if that becomes reformed, the whole body will get reformed. And if that gets spoiled, the whole body will get spoiled. Beware, that is heart. So that is heart. Means everything depends upon heart. If the condition of the heart is good, then whole the body will work in good way. And if the condition of the heart is very bad, then all the parts of body will work in bad way. Because we will do that thing which is in our heart. If in our heart there is jealousy of someone, so our deeds show that jealousy towards that person. And if we have sincerity and if we have well-wishing of other people, so we will be kind to other people, we will be polite to other people, we will try to fulfill the needs of poor people, because we have kindness in our heart, we have politeness in our heart, we have softness in our heart. So the condition of heart shows its activities through the parts of the body. So that's why purification of the heart is very important. That is not matter that the purification of the heart has any importance or not. No, that has a lot of importance, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, as the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned. But the matter is this, that zahir is also emphasized in Quran and Hadith. For example, consuming the wealth of an orphan, what is that? That is inner matter. That is the matter of heart. A person is consuming the wealth of an orphan, so that is the matter of heart. That is the matter of the zahir. That is the matter of zahir. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that in the Holy Quran as well. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Indeed, those people who unjustly eat up the wealth of orphans. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. They are eating up hellfire. They are eating up hellfire in their bellies. وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. And they will enter in blazing fire. That is a matter of zahir, and Allah Azza wa Jal has cleared that matter, and Allah Azza wa Jal has emphasized upon that, and He has forbidden that in very severe words, that a person can get terrified due to that, in the way in which Allah Azza wa Jal has put emphasis upon that. So in Quran, in Hadith, everything is available. In Quran, in Hadith, Allah Azza wa Jal has emphasized upon batin and zahir. There are many other matters as well. For example, what is batin? What is that thing we call that as batin? That is the condition of heart, that if our heart is feeling fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla when we recite the Holy Quran, so our heart gets full of the fear of Allah, full of the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is batin. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that in the Holy Quran. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Whenever the ayat of Allah, the verses of Allah are recited in front of them, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, their iman increase, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and they put their trust in their Lord. They trust only in Allah Azza wa Jal. So that having trust in Allah, that is batin, and being our heart full of fear of Allah, full of love of Allah, that is batin. But how many other ayat which are regarding zahir, and those are in the Holy Quran? For example, the matter of marriage is discussed in the Holy Quran. How many ayat are regarding marriage? How many ayat are regarding divorce? How many ayat are regarding the matter of inheritance? How many ayat are regarding jihad and these other matters which are obviously which belongs to zahir? So it means when we study the Holy Quran, we recite the Holy Quran with full concentration and consideration, we come to know that in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned both of the things. So now after all this discussion, I would say, when Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned zahir and batin in the Holy Quran, So who has that courage and dare to go against the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal? When Allah Azza wa Jal is putting emphasis upon Zahir and Batin on both, so who can say something against that Batin which upon which Allah Azza wa Jal has emphasized? And who can go against that Zahir upon which Allah Azza wa Jal has emphasized? So that's why if there are some statement of some awliya kiram which are against Zahir, so first of all we have to look at the proper meaning of those words. We have to understand the proper meaning of those words, because might be there is mistake in our understanding. We are misunderstanding those words. The meanings of those words are clear, and those are proven from Quran and Hadith as well. But because we don't have that kind of mentality, and we don't have that high understanding like those awliya kiram, so that's why we are not taking those in proper way. We are not taking those in proper understanding. So that's why we are making mistake. So that's why, first of all, we have to understand the meanings of those words. That's why it happens many times. Sometimes one stanza of any poet, or when one statement of any person appears in front of a person, and he mentions the meaning of that statement and stanza in some other way, but when that is presented in front of another person who is more brilliant, who is more intelligent, and who has more understanding, he understands the meaning and he says, no, that is not the meaning of that sentence. What you are understanding, the meaning of that sentence or stanza is something else. So it is very clear thing. That's why we read the books of law we read, but we understand something else. But when those books of law are presented in front of an honorable judge, an expert judge, so he interprets that legal book in another ways. So what is that? Because the understanding of that person is more than the first person. So that's why when we read any stanza of any wali, we read any statement of any wali, so because we are not wali and we don't have that spirituality and that mentality, so that's why we can make mistake in understanding. And sometimes there is another thing as well. What is that? These awliya kiram, they have their own terminologies. Okay? When we don't know that terminology, we can't bring those words into that terminologies. And that is very clear. For example, we people who learn Quran and Hadith, so we have some terminologies regarding Quran and Hadith, as the word Sunnah, the word ijma, the word qiyas, many other words. In every book there are many terminologies, not only regarding tafsir and hadith. In every science, whether that is Islamic science or that is worldly science, in every field of science there are many terminologies. When the person of that field uses that terminology, he takes that word in another meaning. When a common person reads that word, so he might take the meaning of that sentence and that word in another meaning. So that's why, first of all, it is important to understand and to learn the terminology of this awliya kiram. That's why the word shauq is a very common word. Shauq means zeal, passion, and even the word mahabba, the word love, is a very, very obvious word. Everyone knows the meaning of that. But when these awliya kiram use in their own books, so they use the word love in another meaning. So that's why learning and understanding the terminology of awliya kiram is very important. Without understanding, without learning those terminologies, if a person claims that these awliya kiram have criticized ilm-e zahir, so these people are making mistake, because those awliya kiram did not criticize ilm-e zahir. They used their own terminologies and they wrote those words in their own terms. That's why, so might be there is misunderstanding in the understanding of those words. One thing. The another thing is, which would be beneficial for understanding the kalam of these people. sometimes they are emphasizing upon the spirit of something. Okay, they just for making the mind of the people, for making the people understand, they use some heavy words so that the people can get terrified, but behind that they took those words in another meaning. And that is not only in the kalam of this awliya kiram, that even that has been used in ahadith as well. For example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yadkhulul jannata man kana fi qalbihi misqalu dharratin min kibri. The person who has a particle of arrogance in his heart, he will never enter paradise. The person who has a minute arrogance in his heart, he will never enter paradise. On the other hand, in the light of Quran and Hadith, we have that belief that every Muslim will enter paradise, whether he is a pious person or he is a sinner person. So arrogant person is not kafir, he is not non-believer, he is Muslim. When he is Muslim, he must enter paradise, though after getting his punishment, after facing his punishment, but he will enter paradise, he must enter paradise. But the Hadith is saying something else, that is saying the person will never enter paradise, that person who has a particle of arrogance in his heart. What is the meaning of that? Ulama has said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used these words so that the people can get terrified. They get fearful from that, they get fearful from arrogance, and so that they can abstain from arrogance. Otherwise, the meaning of hadith is clear. That person who considers arrogance as halal, as lawful, arrogance is lawful, so that person becomes non-believer, and due to that he will never enter paradise. And the second meaning of this hadith is, the person who has arrogance, he will never enter paradise in first attempt, in first time. When those Muslims who will enter paradise without any punishment, so this person will not enter paradise with those people in that group. That person will not be included in that group who will enter paradise in first time without facing any punishment. So in that way, when we take that hadith, the meaning of that hadith is clear. So similarly, the wordings of this awliya kiram would be taken in those meaning in which those awliya kiram have used. And then I would say, if there is no interpretation of the words of this awliya kiram, and if those are totally against the teachings of Quran and Hadith, and that is only rejection of ilm-e zahir, that is totally against offering prayer and other actions of zahir, so then we will accept the commandments of Allah, we will accept Quran and Hadith, and we will never take these words of awliya kiram as our belief or as considerable thing, because that might be added and fabricated words which have been affiliated to those awliya kiram. So that's why we will take these words in that way.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this answer, which was very, you know, with full detail, what we have come to know, if I summarize this, so I would say that according to Mufti Saab, these are Zahir and Batin are the two different aspects of Islam, and both of them are equally important, and Allah Azza wa Jal himself has emphasized upon these two aspects. So those who are following Batin, at the same time it is necessary for them to follow Zahir as well. And those who are only concerned about their zahir, they have to be very careful about their batin as well. And as for the awliya kiram and their kalam is concerned, so there are different interpretations of their kalams, and we will not be able to understand their kalam in proper context unless we know their terminology. And as every science has its own terminology, in the same way the tasawwuf and kalam of Sufiya Kiram has its own terminology as well. And then lastly, I would say that if there are some verses ascribed to Awliya Kiram, then if they are utterly against Quran and Sunnah, then we will accept Quran and Sunnah, prefer Quran and Sunnah, and we will reject these verses because we believe Awliya-i-Kiram cannot utter these type of verses. They are only added by someone, fabricated and ascribed to that Wali of Allah. So I hope inshallah if there is any confusion in your mind regarding this matter, Mufti Saab's answer must have clarified and removed that misconception from your mind. Coming back to Mufti Saab, as you have given the detail about this matter, so now my question is, what is the commandment of Sharia regarding those people who use this type of kalam and make fun of ulama and they tease them? So what is the commandment of Sharia regarding these people?
These kind of people mostly are arrogant and ignorant.
Achha, both arrogant, yeah, both. And ignorant.
Ignorant and arrogant. Arrogant because they consider their own selves as everything and they consider other people as nothing. So that is very clear from their gesture, from their words, from their sayings. So that is very obvious and that appears from their body language. And as far as the matter of commandment of Sharia regarding these people is concerned, so what is the importance and what is the excellence of scholars in the light of Quran and Hadith? Every person who has studied Quran and Hadith, he knows very well. Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Holy Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal emphasized upon people, He has commanded people to go to the courts of ulama, scholars, to ask their questions. Fas'alu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask your question from these knowledgeable people, the people of knowledge, if you don't know. And mostly the common people don't have knowledge, so that's why they are commanded to go to the courts of these awliya kiram. The second thing Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has elevated the ranks of believers and the people of knowledge. Believers and then the people, those people who are knowledgeable, who have Islamic knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jalla has raised their ranks over other people. Means Allah Azza wa Jalla has given excellence and those people over other people. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla has preferred those people over other people, so who can disgrace them? If a person is trying to do that, so he will be disgraced in the court of Allah rather than those people, because Allah Azza wa Jalla has elevated their ranks in his own court. And in Hadith, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. Scholars are the inheritance of prophets, because they learn and they get or they acquire the inheritance of prophets. What is the inheritance of prophets? That is knowledge. And that knowledge is Islamic knowledge, not only worldly knowledge. The real meaning of that knowledge is Islamic knowledge, which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to those prophets, and those prophets have spread and they conveyed that knowledge to their nations, to their followers. And ulama, because ulama acquire, they get that knowledge, that's why they are the inheritance of those prophets. So when the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned excellences of scholar, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned the excellence of a scholar, so if someone is trying to disgrace the scholar, so he will face the result and outcome of his statement, of his disgracing and of his disrespecting of these scholars. But there is one saying of Fuqaha-i-Kiram in the books of Fiqh. They said, the person who disgraces scholars without any reason, there is likelihood that person will die on disbelief. At the time of his death, this person will be deprived of his iman. So there is likelihood for that. So that's why it is very sensitive matter. Nowadays people are very heedless in that regard, and they are very negligent, and they have that kind of mentality that they can say everything against ulama-i-kiram in the name of any kind of thing. They can abuse them and they can make fun of them. They can mention some jokes regarding them, but the outcome of this joke and making fun is very severe, and might be these people will be deprived of their iman at their time, at the time of their death.
MaazAllah, may Almighty Allah save us from this. Achha, Mufti Sahab, there is another group of people. When you know we go to them, they say Shariat is something else and Tariqat is something else, and you don't know what is Tariqat. So my question is, Mufti Sahab, really these are two different things? Is there any difference between Shariat and Tariqat?
If I give the answer of this question in detail, that will be very lengthy. But in brief words, I would say, best of Awliya Kiram is Ghaus-e Pak رضی اللہ تعالیٰ, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani رضی اللہ تعالیٰ, and Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi رحمت اللہ علیہ, and Data Sahib رحمت اللہ علیہ. These are best of Awliya Kiram. Everyone believe in that, and they are considered as the biggest Awliya Kiram in the world. Okay. If we read their books, what they have written, for example, the book of Ghaus-e Pak رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, غنیۃ الطالبی, the book of Sheikh Shahabuddin Sohrawardi رحمت اللہ علیہ is Awarif al-Ma'arif, the book of Data Sahib is Kashf al-Mahjub, and then the book and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he is also considered a very big wali. His books Ihya ul-Ulum, Kimya Sada, Minhaj al-Abidin. If we read these books, we will come to know all these grand awliya kiram. They mention everything in their book. For example, in the book of Ghaus-e Pak radiyallahu ta'ala ghuniyat al-Talibin, he started from beliefs regarding Allah, regarding Prophet, regarding angels, regarding paradise, regarding hell. Then he put the chapter regarding Salat, then Zakat, then Psalm, then Hajj, then earning halal, abstaining from haram. Then he mentioned some sins. Even in the excellence of every month, he emphasized upon offering nafal prayer in the month of Muharram, in the month of Shaban, in the month of Ramadan. You should offer these nawafil. So when we read the book of Ghaus-e Pak رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, that has been written in mentioning of all the commandments of Sharia and Tariqa. And those Awliya Kiram considered all these things as Sharia and Tariqa. It means Sharia is not away from Tariqa, and Tariqa is not different from Sharia. Tariqa is one part of Sharia. Sharia is like a river, and Tariqa is like canal, which is flowing from that river. So who say the water of canal is different from the water of river? Though this canal is flowing from that river, so that person is a mad person. Because when he is saying that this canal is flowing from that river, so how can he say the water of this canal is different from that river? Both would be alike. The same water is coming in this canal. So that's why those people who differentiate between Tariqa and Sharia without having proper knowledge, so they are misunderstanding the meaning of Tariqa and Sharia, and basically they don't even know the meaning of Tariqa. What is that? Tariqa, what is the meaning of Tariqa? The meaning of Tariqa is path. And what is the meaning of Sharia? The meaning of Sharia is also path. So Sharia is also path. That is not destiny. That is just way and path. Tariqa is not destiny, that is just way and path. And that way goes towards the court of Almighty Allah. So on the path of Sharia, on the path of Tariqa, every person goes towards the court of Allah Azza wa Jal for getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's why in that way, in this meaning that Tariqa is opposite to Sharia and Sharia is opposite to Tariqa, that is totally wrong. We can say that Tariqa is also path, but that is very narrow path. And Sharia is a path, but that is very vast path. Walk on that is very easy, and walk on the path of Tariqa is very difficult because that is very narrow. So that is a difference between these two. Otherwise, after leaving Sharia, if a person wanna walk on Tariqa, that he can't walk on that, and he can't reach his destiny.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Shariat is also a path and Tariqat is also a path. And when we join both Shariat and Tariqat, then we will be able to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is our final destination. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will come again with the same silsila, with new episode, with interesting questions, and I hope you will be waiting for us. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is free.